Good morning. It is my privilege and honor to bring forth the word today. And, you know, as Pastor Jerry has been leading up to this with the seal of the power of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, today my topic is the power of promise through the Holy Spirit. And the memory verse is one that I grew up at church camp. We made this a verse, especially during the midweek, because in the assemblies, they made an emphasis on why we need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we had room assignments that I was a counselor there, and so we had to come up with a song or something for the memory verse for that day. And remember, this was back in the 80s and the early 90s, okay? And so it was the emphasis of, "And you shall receive power, power, power when the Holy Ghost falls on you." Yeah, when the Holy Ghost falls on you. And then we gave the address, Acts 1.8. Because you always have to remember the address. Okay? But it was a way that the word was empowered into our lives. And that's what I pray that you will do with this same verse today. Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you." We stopped on that first part. But we are all supposed to be this second part. "And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Let's pray. God, we thank you. Not for a promise of a power to come, but of the promise of the power that you have placed inside each and every one of us. I pray, God, that through this word today, you will open our eyes so that we will unleash that power and allow you to work fully in and through our lives. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so who of y'all out there would not like more power? You have plenty of power? Well, what about power to get up and face the day? Can we show the slide? The Energizer Bunny promises power, right? It just keeps going and going and going. Or better yet, what about power to get the lists of chores done? Tim the Toolman Taylor, more power. Ha, 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 ha. And finally, I cannot do a sermon without the power to be able to handle stressful work situations. Scotty, I need more power. And what was Scotty's response? "Captain, I'm giving her all she's got." Now, the world defines power. According to Merriam-Webster, as a source or means of supplying energy, the ability to act or produce an effect, possession of control, authority, or influence over others. Now, those of you who have Facebook know that I experience the power of straight line winds at my house. It took out a tree that took out my fence and fell down on top of my propane tank. Fortunately, no damage to the propane tank, but my beloved redbud tree is gone. But thanks to Tim the Chainsaw Martin and his boys, they got it all cut down and cleaned up for me and helped me out with that. The power of a chainsaw. The power of the proper tools in our lives. Are we using them to their full potential? Because the biblical word used in this specific verse is dunamis. And dunamis, or dunamos, I'm sorry, which means a description of strength of mind, moral qualities of a person, an inner strength that does not come from or depend on outer things. This is how God is able to show himself to others through our lives. Now, as you guys know, I grew up in church. I mean, I was probably cutting my teeth on the hymn book or the back of the pew, one or the other. And my parents raised myself and my two sisters to do things on our own, to take the initiative to get things done, because we're a Durham and this is how we do it. But a lot, I have to understand, it took a lot of prodding at first. You know, like when you get the full names, Kenneth Paul, or Annette Renee, or Sharon Deanne, when they used those names together, we knew we were in trouble, and we better get busy. But they also showed us what it was to help others when needed, and they did that by leading by example. They had us in church. We were surrounded by people who encouraged us in our walk with Jesus. And they showed us what it meant to serve others in love. My dad was the go-to guy, speaking of fathers. He was the go-to guy to fix the furnace, fix the plumbing, fix the roof. He was there. And it wasn't out of expecting anything back from the church. He did it in love. When we had a severe storm that came in and flooded the basement because the sump pump went out, we were there before church on Sunday morning helping to squeegee out and vacuum up the water and stuff to get it ready for Sunday school. They led by example. And I am here to tell you that I know it is only through the Holy Spirit that they gave them the power and the strength to get these things done. Because they were busy too. They were working two or three jobs and raising a family, and we lived half hour away from the church. But we were one of the first ones there and the last ones to leave. And now my wife knows why I'm always the last one to leave here. They demonstrated to us what it means to study the playbook. In this day and age, we could say, oh, there's an app for that. And we could download the right app and plug it into the right source. And if you look right on the bottom of the screen, what is that corner symbol? The power button. But all too often, it just sits there. We don't push it and apply it. It's up to us. Because just like having a gym membership, it doesn't work unless you go there and put in the effort. The power of the Holy Spirit is not something you use only in the case of emergency. No. We are to allow that power to flow in and through our lives each and every day. So, like I said, I hope you've been listening to Jerry's messages. They will help us to understand what the difference is about being sealed and about being anointed and about having the power of the Holy Spirit in these three messages. But somehow, There's been confusion in the church, and we've sort of tried to make these words all interchangeable. And that's not the case. They are all part of what he does in our lives, so that we can carry out God's plan for our lives. So we're going to dig into the playbook today and see how all of these things can work. So first, I'm going to cover what is the intent of the power of the Holy Spirit. Second, what is the best way for the power to flow? Third, how are we to listen? And fourth, how we ultimately bring glory to God. Oh, great, a four-point message. Don't worry, I talk fast, okay? Number one, what is the intent of the power of the Holy Spirit? It is literally the power of God, the ability to act effectively and influence the behavior of others and even influence events around us. Since it comes from God, what do we know about it? It is infinite, it is unlimited, it is eternal, and it is unlike any other power out there. Look at the Old Testament. As David was being anointed king, he was pouring the oil on top of him. Look at 1 Samuel 16:13. It says, "So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of the olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah." The Spirit enabled David to do wonderful things, even in the face of hardship. While he was not permanently indwelt with the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit was on him and worked through him and gave him the power to achieve things that he would not be able to do on his own. Case in point, who slayed the giant? David, through the power of God. You know, who else would take rocks to a sword fight? He knew where his power was, in whom it laid. And then, in Zechariah 4:6, God gave Zechariah a vision or a word to give to Zerubbabel when he said, "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts.'" In this message of encouragement to Zerubbabel, say that three times fast, he was being told that his work was not going to be accomplished through human effort, not through human might, not through human power, but through the Spirit of the Lord. It was a divine power that was constant and consistent and comes straight from God. In the New Testament, we are told that we are to be witnesses and to share the good news to everyone. We read Acts 1:8. "But you will receive power to when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Let's personalize that. Bring it home, folks. You will be my witnesses in Newcastle, in all of Henry County and Indiana, and to the ends of the earth. Or if you want to make it even more personal, you will be my witnesses at your dinner table and in the workplace and to all your family and friends. I don't see anywhere in here that it says only the pastors or only the elders or only the Sunday school teacher. It says you. So take your finger and turn around and point it right back here. Remember, the once timid disciples who had been hiding in secret since Jesus' crucifixion were now turning the world upside down with a message of the gospel. And it wasn't just something new that happened just that once. If you remember a few weeks back, I told you about one of the hymns that Charles and John Wesley had written and how they had come to the United States from England to try to save America. And they returned home with their tail tucked between their legs because nothing happened and they were disappointed. But on the boat ride back home, they met up with a group of Moravians. Not those guys with the turbans and the scarves running in the wind. Okay, that's Arabians. Moravians, all right? And they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And John and Charles wanted more of what they had. And they said that from that time that they spent with them, their lives were changed and transformed. Because it was the power of the Holy Spirit that was working through them and not the power of John and Charles Wesley. Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity," no timid Tims, "but of power, love, and self-discipline." 2 Timothy 1:7. Please look at that order. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to love and to be disciplined. We share the gospel. Then we have to remember that we're sharing it in His power, but we're also sharing it in love. And the evidence of that love should be seen in our lives, which comes from our disciplines. How many of you have ever heard, "Do as I say, not as I do"? I hated that. No double standards here. It says that we are to have the evidence in our lives. Because it is in the power of the Holy Spirit and in love and the self-discipline. So second, what is the best way for that power to flow in your life? Well, look at the initial instructions. Luke 24:49 says, "And now I will send you the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven." So the writings in Acts 1 are a continuation of the end of Luke. And it's really Luke part 2. Because it's the same author. Okay? So he's continuing his message. So Acts 1 verses 4 and 5. "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, 'Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit.'" So, they were told to wait and stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit would come. They were not told how long that they would have to wait. And think about it. How many of us would honestly stay in one place for more than just a couple of days? We are in such a society that we want things now that when we're told to wait, we're like a little kid told to wait for dessert. Well, you have to eat that, and you have to eat all of that before you get, "But I want it now." Too many times we fall short. And just like the group of followers, you know, there was 500 people that Jesus came in contact with during this during the time of the last 40 days was the estimation. Scholars will tell you that all of them heard this message. But how many there were there on the day of Pentecost? 120. I think they bailed before the blessing. They missed it because they didn't wait. 10 days later, after receiving the message of staying put, the power fell on them. Well, that was for them. You know, now when we receive the Holy Spirit, or when we get saved, the Spirit comes in our lives and is at work in us. Yes. But we're also told to be still and know. We are also told to wait upon the Lord. We are told to submit and surrender. Look at 1 Peter 5:6. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. I told you guys before, Peter has got to be one of my most favorite disciples. He was often quick to speak and act, slow to think all the way through. Yet Jesus loved him dearly and kept telling him to love others well. He was the one who denied knowing Jesus to a servant girl, and yet on the day of Pentecost, it was he who was preaching the message to all who would listen. God provided through the Holy Spirit what Peter needed just when he needed it. We've all heard the adages, where God guides, He provides. But how many of us walk in that every day? My favorite one, though, is it rings so true. It's not your ability that God wants, but it's your availability. You know, we've all got these smartphones or calendars or things that are always going off to tell us what to do and remind us of things we have set in them. But who puts the information in? So if we are truly walking in God's word, if we are truly being His disciples and disciplining our bodies, what does that take? You know, I've stood in front of you for many times and told you about, you know, hey, I'm doing this diet, or hey, I'm doing this diet, hey, I'm doing this. But what it all boils down to is the self-discipline. And boy, was it put to the test yesterday. We had a family gathering, and my sister makes these cupcakes that are so moist. And then she puts that buttercream icing on top, and it just says, eat me. And I'm not just talking one cupcake per person. My sister is a Durham. She doesn't feed for a few. She feeds the army. And I had to, you know, I confess, I ate one of the chocolate ones. But she also had vanilla. And I had to live vicariously through my daughter-in-law, Christiana, as I watched her eat two. But she's only this big around, so she can, you know, afford to do that. But the discipline. If I can do that to get the body in shape, how much more should I do to make sure that I have the spirit in shape? We've got time to watch a movie or go out to concerts, or we've got time to play board games that take hours on end. But how much time have I been giving to Jesus? As I was talking with my brother-in-law yesterday, who's also a pastor, he said, I'm having to restructure the whole constitution and bylaws of my church. He's a Methodist pastor. And he said, because I can't even get my leaders to show up, or even people that want to step up to be leaders. And I talked with Kenton, who's working at a church in Cedarville. And they're facing the same thing. And then my nephew, he works at a church in Fort Wayne, and he said, it's the same thing at their church. As we look at our lives and say, how can I best allow the power to flow? It goes back to, you got to have an outlet. You know, there's an acronym for VIPs, which means very important people. I also like to call them very influential people, because they can charge your life and just encourage you. But then there are the VDPs. What's that? Very draining people. And it's like, I don't want to be one of those people. Someone who only take, and never gives back. Do you know that if a battery sits too long on the shelf, what happens to it? So, if you got saved at the age of 19, and the power of the Holy Spirit came into your life during that time, that means you were fully charged. And if you are now 39 plus, have you used any of that power in your life? Because if you just sit there and say, well, I'm saved, I got my ticket to heaven. No. Because the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is, it never runs out of power. You may think, I'm giving out, but he's there charging you up continuously, refreshing you, refilling you, empowering you to do those things that he wants you to do. And we're supposed to be witnesses in love and in self-discipline. And that can only happen when we submit to his power. So how are we listening to his voice and leading? Well, how many of you know you can't be listening if you're always talking? In Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, Jesus is talking to his disciples about prayer. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. He goes on, when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need before you even ask Him. Then why do I need to pray if He already knows? Because just like a dad, you love to be asked. You love to hear the words, I love you. I need you. Can you help me? And when he was talking about the, it's not going through being so wordy that I have to have exact words to say. No. The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will give us the words to pray, even when we don't know how. Sometimes it might be a moaning and a groaning because we're crying out. But God sees our heart. And He hears those cries in our prayers. Remember that prayer is a two-way communication. You just don't take our prayer guide, go through the whole list, and then say, okay, that's it, gotta run. We are to wait upon the Lord. Allow Him to speak to our hearts and for Him to tell us or show us what He wants us to do for that day. It's not ever a once and done thing. Just like with a husband and wife, you tell each other every day that you love each other. You can't just say, well, they know. Hello, we just had 5 love languages here a couple years ago. We all know that there are people who have different love languages, and one of them are words of inspiration, edification and inspiration. Whether it be a written word or spoken word. And then there are those of us who are, quality time. And then there are those who have acts of service. It goes back to, if you love me, show me. Well, if we love Jesus and we're walking in His power, then we're going to show the world around us that His power lives in us. Right? And I challenge you that when you talk with God in prayer, that you talk to Him just like you do a friend on the phone. Man, God, I had a really crappy day. And I really wanted to take out that person that cut me off. And I'm thankful that you stopped me from doing anything stupid. But just like any other friend you talk with on the phone, please let him get a word in edgewise. Have you ever gotten on the phone and then you're just the person online going, And you come back later and pick up and it's just, they never knew you laid the phone down. Communication. Because if you look at the example that Jesus gave us in Luke 5:16, it says that Jesus often, however you want to say it, but often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. This is just one time that the Bible records that Jesus went off by Himself to pray. He knew that in order to hear God's voice clearly and without any distractions, He had to be by Himself. So, if Jesus did it, and we say we want to be like Jesus, shouldn't we be doing the same thing? Oh, you don't know my schedule. I can't get away from anything. We still can make some time. We're supposed to tithe the 3 T's. our time, our treasures, and our talents. So, if you tithe your time, how many hours are in a day? How many hours are in a day? 24. So that's 2.4 hours a day that belongs to God. I got to spend 2 hours and 40 minutes in prayer? No. But in serving Him and loving Him and serving others, those are the things we do. Why? Because we love each other. You know, when we serve our family, we don't look at the clock. We do it because we love them. And because we want to see them succeed. I mean, when my kids call me to babysit, do I go, well, you got 2.4 hours. No. When my kids had ball practices or want me to come to one of the sporting events, oh, you only have a limited amount of time. I made sure because I had love for them. So if that's true for my immediate family, how much more so for God's family? And I understand, too, that fasting is a part of that training. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Fasting? I have to miss food? Well, some people can't because of medical issues. I understand that. But we can fast Facebook or television or games on your phone, iPad, or gaming system, and then take that time and spend time reading and praying and journaling. I mean, if you've got time for those things, God at least deserves at least equal time. And don't say, well, that's how I unwind. Hey, pick up a good book and unwind. It's refreshing. It's renewing. It's restoring. That is the power of God. And if you can only fast one meal, then take that time to go out to your car and spend that time with God. It's a great way to set a new routine or a habit. Because we need to get rid of all these distractions. There is always something clamoring at us. And if the television is on in my house, you can ask my wife. And she talks to me. I go, uh-huh. And then later go, what did you say? So when anybody wants to talk to me, it gets muted, paused, stopped, so I can give them my full attention. If not, I'll miss it. One time, I was at a restaurant and was pouring my heart out to a pastor friend. And they were looking around the restaurant because they knew that person that came in, and they knew that person that came in, knew that person. And I felt like, hello? So if I felt that way, is that way God feels with us sometimes? He's talking to us and we're going, uh-huh. Yeah, hi, how you doing? Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Don't do that. I saw you. Kids, get away from that. Uh-huh. No. And then later we're going, God, I really want to know your will. I just told you. We have to stay focused. And we can only do that when we take time away. That is how we'll know what we're to be saying to others and sharing their message of love that they need to hear. So fourthly, how does he ultimately bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink and or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do or say, do it as representatives of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It's obvious that the Holy Spirit was moving upon Paul as he emphasized this important message. In the letter to the Corinthians and to Colossians, he uses almost the exact same words. And how many times have we been had, you and I, have been told two or three times until we get it? So these were not just some things that they had to do, but everything, knowing who we are representing. We are representing Jesus and giving glory and thanks to God. This can only be accomplished through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Left up to us, trying to do it in our own strength and power, usually ends up in a train wreck. But I don't know what happened. And God said, you didn't listen to me. And if we would have listened in the first place, then what was a train wreck could have been something that brought glory to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, pointing us to the example of Jesus and helping us to become more like him. Jesus never took the credit for all the miracles and the works that he did, but rather always pointed people to give praise to God the Father. And God loved us so much that he sent his one and only Son to live among us and to give his life for us. Then, when he rose again, he ascended to the right hand of the Father to intercede for us and sent the Holy Spirit to come and comfort and guide us. Do you see this wonderful cycle of love? It's never about me. The Holy Spirit points to Jesus. Jesus points to God. God loves us and wants us in turn to bring glory back to him. This is how we should live our lives, in the fullness of power through the Holy Spirit. And this can only happen when we stay in the Word. We need to discipline and train our hearts and our minds to listen to the voice of God as he speaks to our hearts, our coach's voice, and then work together to build the kingdom. For what? Not for our glory, but to bring glory to God. I want to pray this blessing over you from Romans. Get there in a second there. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. So I pray that God, who gives you hope, will keep you happy and full of peace as you believe in him. May you overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit.